There are some crazy statistics out there about the very high percentage of Canadians who will spend at least some portion of their life disabled. Maybe not necessarily permanently, but for a period of time, the stats are high. And yet many Canadians are ill-prepared for that scenario, because certainly not all Canadians have disability insurance. Many don't think they need it, or they don't know much about it, or they think they've got all the coverage they need at their work. Lauren Marr is the Director of Business Development at Hub Financial. He's here to tell us why we might need disability insurance and what we should be looking for when we go shopping. Hello, Lauren. How you doing?
Good, Bruce.
Why is disability insurance so important for Canadians, in your opinion?
I mean, I think it's very important, and a lot of people underestimate it, is because you just hit upon it. The chances of becoming disabled are very high. In fact, the chances of someone becoming disabled, you know, who's say 40 years old over a 10-year window, is much, much higher than the chances of them dying over that 10-year window. So that's, I mean, one crucial reason is that the likelihood of it happening is very high. And then, you know, a lot of Canadians, as you mentioned, also don't have the financial safety net in place to weather that disability. So that's another reason why it's crucially important.
What's the ballpark cost? Kind of like, you know, for a 40-year-old, like $200 to $300 or so? What influences that cost?
The cost is influenced by a few things. So it's really disability insurance. It is pretty hard to give a ballpark because it's influenced on the person's age, their smoking status, their health, their gender. And interestingly enough, with gender, it's the opposite of life insurance. Females, on average, pay more for disability insurance than males because females live longer, but their chances of becoming disabled are greater. The other variable is the person's occupation. So unlike life insurance, where a 40-year-old male pays the same if they're a chiropractor, or if they're a landscaper, a 40-year-old male would pay less for disability insurance, generally if they're a professional, versus a blue-collar worker, because the incidence of disability is higher from a blue-collar worker.
And when you use the word disability, how broad a term is it? Do mental health challenges factor in? What are the...
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, really, disability would be anything that's preventing you from earning an income. So if you're due to an injury or an illness, so if you're off work from depression, if you're off work from bad back, those would both be disabilities. Now, what you have to be very careful of is, does your plan have any exclusions? So if someone's applying for a plan and they have a history of depression, there may be an exclusion for depression, so they have to check that out. And same thing with a bad back or a bad knee. If you're coming into the plan, into an individual plan with a with an illness or with an injury, that may not be covered.
I don't have a job, so I knew I would need LTD, and I, you know, sought it out. I got the estimates and I bought it ages ago. But a lot of people have jobs, and they probably think that the task is complete because they're with an employer. What questions should those people be asking themselves to see if the coverage that they have through a workplace is sufficient?
There's a couple of big things that I would look at. One is, does your plan, what's the definition of disability under your plan? A lot of plans go to any occupation after 2 years. So what that means is that if you could do any type of work, you're not going to be covered. So if you look at like a pharmacist, you know, they may have a plan that goes to any occupation. So for the first 2 years, they'd be covered. But if after 2 years they could work as a grocery clerk, then they wouldn't be covered because the definition changed to any occupation. Another big thing is there a cap on the monthly benefit? So, you know, someone who's earning, let's say, you know, $10,000 a month, a higher income earner, may have a cap of $3,000 or $4,000 on their plan. So they're only covering a very small percentage of their income.
What should people know about the difference between disability insurance and critical illness coverage? Because they work very differently and there are pros and cons to both.
Yeah, it's a good question. The disability insurance is replacing your income. So that's essentially, you can think of disability insurance as income replacement insurance. So someone who's retired or someone who's not working generally can't get disability insurance because there's no income to replace. Whereas critical illness insurance is linked to the person developing a critical illness like cancer, stroke, heart attack, paralysis, some type of major illness or some type of severe injury would pay out a lump sum benefit. It's not tied to your income. So someone who's not working could still qualify for a critical illness plan. Also, someone who's in a hard to insure occupation could qualify for a critical illness plan.
The application process, I mean, it's critical that you are completely above board in your answers there, I am sure. What are the actions that a policyholder needs to take to reduce the risk that a claim will be denied?
Well, the first thing obviously is to answer the questions honestly, but part of that can be a little bit of a red herring because sometimes they don't know the answer to the question. So if you're unsure of the question and you need clarification, you know, make sure you ask your broker and or the insurance company, get your response in writing, and the person may have to go to their doctor and get the answer to that question because they may not know the answer to the question. So that's definitely something that I would look at is to make sure that you understand the application questions. If there's any exclusions or any clauses within the policy that you're not sure of, same thing, make sure you get your response in writing from the broker or preferably the insurance company.
One of the concerns that many people would have is that they are getting sold a policy that is a fit for them, that it's not too much and it's not too little. And there can be some skepticism, right? Given that an insurance broker is paid to sell the biggest and best policy possible. What has your warning lights go off if you were to eavesdrop on a sales conversation that another insurance broker was having with a potential client? What would you be like, I would never do that. Don't do that. And I am saying, or I'm asking this question based on my assumption and my personal experience, having interviewed you a lot over the years, that you hold yourself to a very high standard of integrity.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I would make sure that you know, I'd be leery of anyone who's not factoring in other coverages that you have. You know, how long you're going to be until your retirement. You know, that is not, you know, getting into the details on the application questions, someone who might try and skip over an application question to get an application approved. I'd definitely be leery of that. And, you know, make sure that there's all those questions asked in terms of outside coverages too. Because if you do have a plan at work and you're not mentioning that, you could be paying for a coverage that's not going to pay out because the coverage you have individually has to work in conjunction to your individual policy.
Right. Lauren, I really appreciate your time today.
Oh, my pleasure.
Lauren Marr, Director of Business Development at Hub Financial, Inc. Our focus was on disability insurance. If you're not sure you need it, go find out. You'll be happy that you did.